We have read together in John chapter 3. Let's go back to John chapter 3 and to a theme that is very familiar to us, I guess, from Jesus' own teaching. The theme of being born again and that insistence that he has with Nicodemus. As verse 3 says, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." John chapter 3 and verse 3. Now, I mentioned being born again this morning, so this is a follow-on from that, but completely separate from what we were saying this morning. And as I was thinking about this, for some reason my mind went back to a visit I did in the community to a home in the congregation many, many years ago now. And I was speaking about my own Christian experience and my own faith in Christ. And the couple whom I was visiting were listening carefully, and one of them turned to the other and said, "Well, Mr. Rankin has something that we don't have." And that has always stuck with me. Not because of me or because I have anything that is exceptional. But what I do have is a living Christian faith. And every Christian hopefully has that. But here was someone honest enough to recognize that the faith that I was describing and the Christian experience that I was describing was something that they couldn't enter into. They didn't have what I had, and it was honest. And in this passage here, it's very clear that Nicodemus is saying the same thing to Jesus. Jesus has something which Nicodemus does not have. And Nicodemus has no comprehension of what it is that Jesus is speaking about. So when Jesus speaks about being born again, Nicodemus doesn't understand. And in verse 4 he says, "How can a man be born when he is old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Now that shows Nicodemus has no idea what Jesus is speaking about whatsoever. And again in verse 9, just that perplexed question, "How can this be? I have no idea what you're talking about, Jesus." He's honest, but he doesn't have what Jesus is speaking about here. And because he doesn't have it, not only does he recognize that he doesn't have it, but he doesn't even understand what it is that he doesn't have. And that is my first question then to you this evening. Do you understand what this being born again is? Do you understand the kingdom of God? Because unless you're born again, verse 3 says, you can't see the kingdom. You cannot see it. You are unable to see the kingdom of God until you're born again. Do you understand what it is in verse 5 that Jesus speaks about when he's speaking about the new birth of the Spirit of God? Do you understand that? Do you understand what it is to be born of the Spirit, to be born again, to see the kingdom of God? Because if you're honest and you say to yourself, "Well, yes, I do," then praise God for that. But if you're honest, you say, "Well, I still really don't know what that is," then be honest there too. Because there are two realms. There is the realm that Jesus speaks about in verse 6 as the realm of the flesh, and there is the realm of the Spirit. Verse 6, the flesh and spirit. Or to put it slightly differently, in verse 12, there are things of earth, things of the earth, and there are things of heaven. Earthly things and heavenly things. And you might be this evening completely and entirely familiar with one, but totally a stranger to the other. You may be completely familiar with earthly things, but entirely unfamiliar with heavenly things. And this man, Nicodemus, is like that. And yet, this man Nicodemus, in the eyes of most of his fellow countrymen and women, would have been as good a bet as any for heaven. And yet this man, in Jesus' eyes, falls short. He's not born again. And although many would have said, well, surely if anyone is right with God, if anyone has an eternal future with God, it's got to be Nicodemus. But no, he's entirely familiar with earthly things, entirely familiar to the things of the flesh, but he doesn't understand the things of the Spirit. He doesn't understand heavenly things. Yet he's a man that it looks like you would think he would. He knows a lot, he believes a lot, and he does a lot. And most people would think that's enough. If you know a lot in spiritual terms and believe a lot in spiritual terms and do a lot in spiritual terms, most people would think that that's enough. But if you're not born again by the Spirit, then you do not know how to relate to the things of the Spirit. If you're not born again by the Spirit of God, then heavenly things remain a mystery to you. Let me explain that. When you're born into this world, born the first time, you're equipped in that birth with all that you need to enable you to relate to and to fit in with this world. You have senses, so you can see, you can hear, you can taste, you can smell, you can touch. These equip you to relate to the physical world that you live in. You have lungs to breathe in the air of this world in order to take in the oxygen that you need. You have stomachs to receive and digest the food of this world. You have legs to get you around in this world. You have a voice to make yourself heard in this world. You have hands to grip and manipulate things in this world. You're made today for this world. You're made to this world to relate to what you see in your environment around you, and you're made very well to relate to it. You belong to it. You're born of water, to use part of what Jesus says in verse 5. You're born, verse 6, of the flesh. And if this was all that there was, you'd have all you need. If the only realm was the realm of the physical, if all that there was the realm of physical things, then you would be perfectly equipped to relate to everything. But there's more. There is God. And this body that we have, that we're born with, it hasn't got anything that enables us to relate to God. We need another life so that we can do that. We need the life that comes through being born again, through being born of the Spirit. We need to be born again with the life of God Himself in our lives. And it's only when we've got His life in us that we can relate to another world, to another realm, to God Himself, to the presence of spiritual realities in our world, and to eternal things. Only then. Without being born again, God remains a stranger to us. He just remains someone that may be an idea, someone we can maybe think about, someone we might even believe in, and someone who may make us do many things, like go to church. But we don't know Him. He's still theoretical to us. He's still a stranger to us. And unless we're born again, we can never know what it's like to be close to God. We can never know what it's like to know God personally. We can never know what it's like to have God as our Father, for example. So let's just spell this out with Nicodemus. I said a minute ago, Nicodemus knew a lot, he believed a lot, and he did a lot. Well, let's start with the first. Nicodemus, he knew a lot. In verse 10, Jesus says, "You're Israel's teacher." Okay, so he knows a lot. He knows a lot about what the Old Testament story is, what we would call the Old Testament, what would have been his scriptures. He knows a lot. He knows a lot about that. I think you all know a lot too. It's true that any one of you here could teach many people in our community a great deal about God. You could do that. Any of you could do that. Maybe you've done it for your children. And any one of you here could teach the Sunday school to the extent that you could teach children the stories of Jesus. You could teach people about what's right and wrong from the Bible. You could do that. That does not mean that you know God. It just means that you know a lot. It doesn't mean you know God. Nicodemus didn't know God. He knew a lot, but he didn't know God. Take that to heart. The second thing is this. Nicodemus believed a lot. Verse 2, Nicodemus' belief about Jesus becomes quite apparent. Rabbi, he says, we know you are a teacher. Now, the we is interesting. It means there must be many Pharisees, not just himself, that have come to this conclusion. And he says, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you're doing if God were not with them. It's almost like we're hearing an argument that Nicodemus has been having with some of his friends. Some of them are saying, no, Jesus is not of God. But Nicodemus is saying, he must be of God, because he couldn't do the miraculous signs he's doing if he weren't of God. So Nicodemus believes a lot. He believes a lot, obviously, in terms of the Old Testament scriptures. But he believes a lot about Jesus. He believes, obviously, in the historic Jesus. He believes in the Jesus who's going about doing miracles. He believes in that Jesus. He believes, not only that Jesus is a man sent from God. So he believes a lot. And I think that you all here tonight believe a lot. You believe a great deal about God and a great deal about Jesus and a great deal more than most people believe about God and about Jesus. But Jesus is saying that that does not of itself make you a Christian. It doesn't of itself make you someone who is a son or a daughter of God. You may believe in the historic Jesus. Jesus, the man sent from God. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus who died for our sins. Jesus who rose again. Jesus as Lord. You may believe all of these things, but that doesn't make you a Christian. Nicodemus believed a lot. You may believe that these things are true, but not actually believe them personally for yourself. Like Nicodemus, you believe they're true, but at this stage in his life, he's still not born again. He's still not got the life of God. Still doesn't know God. Nicodemus also did a lot. In verse 1 it says, he was a man of the Pharisees and a member of the Jewish ruling council. So Nicodemus was a very conscientious man. He was a Pharisee. He was a man who was careful about how he lived his life. The things that he believed, things that he knew, motivated him to do a lot, to live in a certain way. He was an upright man. But the things that he did not equip him to know God, because Nicodemus was still only the man that had been born from his mother's womb. He was still only equipped for this world. He didn't have yet the equipping that he needed to know God. He didn't yet know spiritual life that is only possible when you're born again. And so he still only saw earthly things. Jesus says in verse 3, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. You can't see it. You can't see it with your eyes. You can't figure it out, says Jesus, unless you're born again. And Nicodemus hadn't got that. So although he was a man who knew a lot and believed a lot and did a lot, he still didn't know God. Now, it's interesting that often people judge, and maybe they judge you, And often people in church judge other people in church, and they look at them and say, I do as much as they do. I'm as good as they are. And you might be someone like that. You might actually look at other people and say, well, I'm not a member of the church, but look at her, she is, and I think I'm a better person than she is. I do more good than they do. And that may be true. You may do more good. You may actually, morally, be a better person. But that doesn't mean that you have God's presence in your life. Nicodemus was morally a great person. And he had a great deal of knowledge. And he believed a lot of things that were right. But he's still not born again. And he still doesn't therefore know God. And it doesn't matter how good you are. And it doesn't matter how well you compare with other people. Unless you're born again, you don't know God. I remember visiting a man who was a Freemason. And in the course of our conversation, he got out a little Freemason book. And he quoted from this book about how Freemasons are taught to be charitable. And they're taught to help their neighbour. And it was all very good. There was nothing wrong with it at all. But he closed his little book and he said, there you are. I don't see all your church people doing that. He had a mistaken opinion about what makes us able to relate to God. In his thinking, it was doing these things. But nothing in Freemasonry enables a person to become a Christian. Nothing in morality enables a person to become a Christian. Nothing in simply knowing what's right and wrong and trying to do what's right and avoid what's wrong makes a person a Christian. Doesn't do that. No amount of knowing what's right, no amount of believing what's right, and no amount of trying to do what's right makes a person a Christian. It's what Jesus says here that we need. We need to be born again. As Jesus says in verse 7, don't be surprised, he says, at my saying, you must be born again. And yet many people are. They're surprised because they think, but I do enough. I'm as good as those so-called Christians. Well, maybe Nicodemus was morally better than Jesus' disciples. Probably was. Probably looked more respectable. But he wasn't born again. And you may be like that. You may know a lot. You may believe a lot, and you may do a lot, and it all may be right and good as far as it goes. It may even set you apart from others in this community. But don't take comfort in that unless you're born again. Because only if you're born again can you have the eyes to see the spiritual reality of the kingdom of God. Verse 3. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Only if you're born again will you have the ears to hear God's voice. Only if you're born again will you have the awareness to perceive God's presence. Only if you're born again can you have the comfort of being God's child. And only if you're born again can you sense the pleasure of God in you as a forgiven sinner. If the personal knowledge of God is something you don't have, then you need to be honest about that tonight. Get on your knees and seek that God will give you this new life. Because only that new life, the new birth by the Spirit of God, can enable you as a human being to come into the fellowship of God and the presence of God and relate to God. So don't deceive yourself. If you don't know God, don't pretend that you do. There was once a man who claimed to be on great terms with Winston Churchill. It was true that he knew a lot about Winston Churchill. He believed in Winston Churchill. And he did a lot out of respect for Winston Churchill. And one day, his troop were on a parade which Winston Churchill was inspecting. And they were all lined up. And Churchill was going along the line at the parade, and he would stop every so often and speak to one of the soldiers. When it came to the man who was great with Churchill and knew Churchill and so on, Churchill walked right past him. Without a glimmer of recognition. Because the man was just talking through a hole in his head. He didn't know Churchill at all. And Churchill didn't therefore know him. So let's not pretend tonight if the reality is that Jesus would walk past us. If we know that he would walk past us, it's because we haven't got to know him yet. Jesus doesn't walk past those he knows. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. And they follow me. If you don't know him, it's because nothing that you know or believe or do enables you to know him. And if nothing that you know or believe or do enables you to know Jesus, it's because you're just flesh. You're just the person that came out of your mother's womb. Perfectly equipped for this physical, material world, but totally unequipped to relate to the heavenly, to relate to the spiritual world of God. And the only reason for that is you're not born again. And so that is what you need. Nicodemus must have gone away from this encounter and realized, this is what I need. Later on in John's Gospel, we see a change in Nicodemus. A great change, and it's a wonderful change. He's one of those who actually takes Jesus' body down from the cross. He's born again. He's come into a realization of the spiritual realities because the life of God has come into him. He's received that life of God. He's been honest. He's recognized that although he knows a lot and believes a lot and does a lot, none of it has brought him into a relationship with God. But he has got on his knees and he has cried out to God. I mean, I say get on your knees. I don't believe there's any special posture in prayer, and your knees might be bad and you might not be able to get down on your knees. What matters is that you seek God urgently in prayer for this thing. If you're honest and you know that whatever you, however you believe or know or do, you still don't know God, it's because you're not born again. It's because you need another birth. You need to come out, if you like, of the womb of God, out of the womb of the Spirit that brings you into the ability to begin to relate to the realm of the Spirit, to God himself. And that is something you cannot ever get just by your own effort, your own doing and knowing and believing. It's something that you have to receive from God. The comfort is, though, that even though you don't know God, God knows what you're doing. And if he sees you seeking him earnestly in prayer, he'll come and listen to that prayer. And if it's a prayer that is asking for this life, this new birth, this ability to know God, he'll answer that prayer. So seek him. Seek him urgently. And what we've seen for ourselves tonight is true for everyone in this community. Most of the people in this community give every appearance of being very far short even of where Nicodemus was. And they most certainly don't give any appearance of knowing God. They must be born again. And those of us who are born again must insist on this from them. We're not just looking for respectable people in this community. We're looking for children of God. We're not just looking for people who can pass the test of being decent human beings. We're looking to bring people and introduce people into friendship with God, a relationship with Him. And so as we look around us tonight as well, we have a responsibility for our community. So we seek God, each one of us, if we do know Him, for others as well. Let's pray for a moment together. Our Lord and God, we thank You for the plain truth of Jesus' teaching. And Lord, if it hits home to any of us tonight, let us take it to heart and seek You until we have what Jesus speaks of. But around us, Lord, there are many who don't. Heavenly Father, please stoop down to people who are Christless tonight, Godless tonight, and bring them, Father, into that glorious realization of who You are as God and Saviour through Jesus Christ. Amen.